Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Each year as we approach Christmas, Pope Benedict shares with us his thoughts. If you've been listening to our programmes or checked out our website over the past weeks, you'll have heard his words this Adventtide.
May this Christmas be for everyone a celebration of peace and joy. Joy at the birth of the Prince of Peace. Together with Mary and Joseph, let us contemplate the newborn child lying in the manger. Through the prayers of the Virgin Mother, may we grow in the knowledge and love of Christ the Savior. A happy Christmas to you and your families.
Indeed, as he's done over the past two Christmases, on one occasion he invited us not to let the child Jesus catch us unawares, as we busy ourselves with Christmas lights and decorations. Instead of decking out our souls and making our homes a worthy dwelling place where Jesus can be welcomed with faith and love. On another occasion, it was in St. Peter's Square last year, he offered us words I found especially striking. It was the 24th of December then, 2006. But stay tuned as I've asked Sean Patrick Lovett to read a passage from his words to the faithful on that particular day.
The birth of Christ helps us to become aware of the value of human life, the life of every human being, from the first instant to natural death. To those who open their heart to this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, he offers the possibility of seeing with new eyes the realities of every day. He can taste the power of the interior fascination of God's love and is able to transform even sorrow into joy. Let us prepare ourselves to meet Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us. Born in the poverty of Bethlehem, he wants to be the traveling companion of each one of us on our life's journey. In this world, from the very moment when he decided to pitch his tent, no one is a stranger. It is true, we are all here in passing. But it is precisely Jesus who makes us feel at home on this earth, sanctified by his presence. He asks us to make it a home in which all are welcome. The surprising gift of Christmas is exactly this. Jesus came for each one of us, and in him we've become brothers. The corresponding duty is to increasingly overcome preconceptions and prejudices, to break down barriers and eliminate the differences that divide us, or worse, that set individuals and peoples against one another, in order to build together a world of justice and peace. With these sentiments, let us live the last hours that separate us from Christmas, preparing ourselves spiritually to welcome the child Jesus. In the heart of the night, he will come for us. It's his desire also to come in us, to dwell in the heart of every one of us. So that this may occur, it's indispensable that we are open and that we prepare ourselves to receive him, ready to make room for him within ourselves, in our families, in our cities.
Pope Benedict's words read for us by Sean Patrick Lovett. On another occasion, I recall how the Pope invited us not to be clad in silk at Christmas, but in holy works. A Christmas image reflected in some of Monsignor Peter Fleetwood's words, which came to mind as I glanced out of the windows of our building this year. It's cold in Rome right now, and a tent has been set up for the homeless or the needy in a park right across the road from us. I sometimes think of the people who find refuge there while I'm warmly tucked up in bed at night, yet when these same people beg for money in the streets, I often ignore them. But find out what all this has to do with Monsignor Peter's reflection.
Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, well, God bless you. These are the words of a Christmas song that was always sung in our house on Christmas Day. We children were reminded that this was the spirit of Christmas. It is easy to become cynical in our big, rich cities when people stop us in the street asking for money, food, or whatever. We can moan about all these people sleeping rough or begging, the people in non-Western clothes. What are they all doing here? Why are they here? Who let them in? People often ask these questions, but you and I know they don't always put them so politely. My doctor works part of her week in an hospital next to the huge space that was used for the World Youth Day in Rome in the year 2000. That area has now become the biggest nomad camp in Europe. I had no idea about that. It solves a puzzle that had bothered me for a while. I couldn't work out where all these new poor people in Rome lived. My doctor went with some colleagues to ask the people in charge of the new hospital whether they could set aside a space for the people from the camp. There is no way they can pay for health care. These doctors were prepared to work overtime free of charge. The officials told them that if permission was given, they should use the side entrance to avoid offending anyone. My doctor was crestfallen because it is a Catholic hospital. If the authorities in a Catholic hospital have that attitude to the poor and unwanted people in their world, what hope is there? I asked her why she bothered staying Catholic, and she just smiled. It's nearly Christmas. The goose is getting fat. And we're supposed to think of the old man and put a penny in his hat. Just a penny, not much. The song is real because it accepts that some Christians haven't got much to put in the old man's hat, so they can put in less. And God bless those who haven't got anything to put in. It's nearly Christmas. People in Western cities and towns are dashing about spending money. The fat goose is getting worried because it's nearly time for the chop. Other people in a Western city are sifting through dustbins, and I wonder where they sleep or what will happen if they get sick. Their mother is pregnant again and annoys me nearly every day asking for money. She's been here for years, but now I must be getting soft because she makes me think about someone else who was due to have a baby at this time of year centuries ago. No room here, I'm sorry. That's what the innkeeper said. No, I can't give you any more money. That's what I say. It's not true. I don't want to give her any more. She certainly doesn't deserve it, but that's not really the point. It's a perennial problem. People who are wiser than I am tell me money is the last thing to give these people. They're right, but I'm not the only one missing the point. I have heard some of the most ingenious, sad, heart-rending and untrue stories at the front doors of presbyteries where I have worked or stayed. It makes me very wary. But every now and then, I just don't know. I haven't a clue whether I'm hearing the truth or yet another tall tale. Then I have no choice. I have to help in some way. Where I stay now in Liverpool, there is a strict no money at the door policy. There is a stock of food available. There are contacts who find places to stay, and so on. There is a meal for the homeless, served by the parish priest and a huge band of helpers every Christmas Day. There is usually a way to help. But when you're stopped in the street, you have to think very quickly. Please think hard before saying no. The contemporary translation of "there's no room at the inn" is "there's no room in my heart," or "use the side door." I think of my doctor and smile. She bothers with these people. So should I. So should you. Have a wonderful Christmas and make it wonderful for someone else. Thank you.
Our thanks there go to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood for sharing with us this inspiring reflection. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.